Have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I recently saw a health video he made and I was surprised. He's in his 80s and still seems to have his energy and health. He says he's even stronger, has more stamina, and plenty of energy left over for his grandkids since making one simple health change that helps his digestion and nutrition. He says he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife made the same change and she's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, and she has energy all day. Many of us do not include the fruits, vegetables, and other herbs that increase health and energy in our own diets. Chuck Norris made a special video that explains how he incorporated these things with one simple product. You can watch it by going to mymorningkick.com/Harris. It may change your approach to your own health. Once again, that's mymorningkick.com/Harris.
Hey everyone, just a quick video. I'm in California right now. Behind me is the Angeles National Forest and San Gabriel Mountains. I'll give you a little 360 here. Just out for a little hike to clear my mind, and this is where I like to go to pray and think and all that. But you can see Griffith Park is the little mountainous area. You can see where my thumb is. There's some green fields. I don't know if I can focus here. You can see the ocean back there as well. And if your eyes are really good, you can see Catalina Island. But there's Los Angeles. And so I'm in Southern California right now. And I'm, for those who don't know, I figured I should make a little video because I haven't done one for 2 weeks. And I meant to. And I think the last video I said, I'm going to try to put out a few videos between Christmas and New Year's, and I lost my phone hiking. I did something foolish. I went down a mountain in a bushwhack that I was sliding down partially, and I didn't put it in a zipper pocket, even though I had one, and it fell out. So that took me a few days just to like get a phone. And of course, when you lose your phone, you kind of lose your life. Everything's on that device, and just get it all set up. But then, you know, multiple holiday celebrations and then this is the thing, I don't even know how to really even say it, but I wasn't expecting to come to California last week. I came because I got word on Friday of last week that my grandfather was passing away, and I was close with him. And I thought maybe I could see him before he went if I came out quick, which I did. I came out Monday morning. And unfortunately, by the time I made it out, he passed away. He probably passed away at some point when I was over the Rocky Mountains. And I mean, it's tough. I mean, it's even when someone's older and you expect it to happen, it's still not easy if you were close to them. At no age is it easy. So I was able to see his body. I was able to spend some time. And then I spent some time, I'm spending time with family. I'm flying back tomorrow. Funeral will be in a few weeks, and I'll probably fly back again with my wife. But it's been a challenge. I mean, some of you have asked, you know, how's my wife doing with her mother passing away? And we went through the holidays, and it's tough. And now it's even tougher. I'm going to remember probably every New Year's. I'll remember, okay, this is the day my grandfather passed away. But we do not grieve as those without hope grieve. We know where she is, where Diana is. We know where Huelin is. They both made professions of faith. They both had evidence in their lives that they were saved and love the Lord. And so we're looking forward to seeing them. And so it just makes it joyous for us to think about the fact that one day we will be reunited with them, even though it's hard now to be living without them. So that's why I'm here. I just needed an afternoon to kind of clear my head and figured I'll make a little video to let you know kind of what's going on. People are sending me things. I am aware of what's going on politically, kind of. But I frankly just do not feel like doing content right now. I just can't do it. I'm just too emotionally compromised. I did have an article published. I didn't realize they were going to publish it, but I wrote it a few weeks ago about about the founding fathers' view of religious liberty. And I would encourage you, go to American Reformer. I'm trying to think of the name of the article. I think it's called The Founding Fathers Meet Pluralist Satan. And it's about I use the Satan monument thing as kind of a launching pad to talk about it. But, I get into the founder's view of religious liberty and pluralism, and you know how it's there's really this kind of loyalty that many conservatives have to a misrepresentation of their view. And so I try to correct the record, and I think it'll be helpful just even for that reason. So yeah, that's out there. And yeah, there's more I could say about that. I was actually even thinking that I could have added to it a little bit about Doctrine of Lesser Magistrate stuff. And I guess I'll just briefly say, because I did have this thought, that we are entering a time, I believe, where this year might be a real test case for it, but like the time of the judges, the people who actually are willing to make a stand, defend the innocent, do the right thing, chart a course, stick to it, take the consequences, those kind of people. People, frankly, like my grandfather, he was a lot like that, and in his generation was more so. They're going to be looked to more and more because they're a rare commodity, and our leaders don't reflect that. And I think that's actually, that plays into even that Satan Monument debacle. It was someone from out of state who came and toppled it. And, you know, I know people who are real kind of sticklers about Doctrine of Lesser Magistrate, which I value that, you know, and or law and order and that kind of thing. They don't like that. And part of me doesn't care for that. I wish someone in Iowa who is an elected official was the one to do that. There is something about the times in which we live that kind of like demands that people who normally it wouldn't be their business kind of get busy. And I look at it like in the family, if you have like a father and mother who aren't providing for their children, and not only that, they're making war on their children, someone who steps in is going to be the default mother and father. And it's like, you know, like a Moses scenario where you find a baby. How many stories do we know like that where they're not the real mother and father, but they play that role because the real mother and father, for whatever reason, can't or aren't. And so I do think that we're entering a time like that. And so that being said, some of you know this, some of you don't. I mentioned this to the patrons. My grandfather's World War II story, he was born in 1922. He's amazing. He died in 2024, so that's quite a lifespan. 101 years old. I have all his letters, and I interviewed him a few years ago, and I have the audio recordings and everything. And I got about a chapter and a half in before he passed away. And it took me a few years because I was working on it very slowly, because I had home remodeling and books and documentary stuff and moving and finishing degrees. And it's been a crazy few years for me, but, I do want to finish it this year. And I mean, it's important to me. And I think it would be something that would be beneficial to everyone really to put his World War II stories out there, because these are the kind of stories that we all need. That generation, and I think many generations before that, there was more. Let's just say if you dive into even American history, you're going to find examples of great men. And they're still around. There's just perhaps less of them, or they're just not in the influential positions. And so I think if you go to, I'm in Los Angeles right now. If you go to like downtown Los Angeles, there's a lot of homelessness. There's a lot of crime. And I think we're entering a period where the person who takes a stand and starts protecting the innocent, they're like the default government, whether they have the title or not. And I don't know, as things unravel and become more chaotic with the border situation and the economy and everything else, we're going to need some men of principle and character to take on some roles that may not be the roles that logically they would take. I mean, there would be someone else who would have that responsibility, but they're not the one, they're not doing anything about the problem. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that. I wanted to mention that I am working on well, not right this second, but this year I plan to work on that. And even though I'm not in the frame of mind to do a lot of podcasting the next few weeks, I will be working on 1607 project stuff and a couple other projects. So I am keeping busy. And I am aware, you can send me things. I'm aware of what's going on. I just, emotionally, I'm just up and down. So pray for me, pray for my family. I was close with my grandfather, and I definitely miss him. And for me, it's kind of like the closing of a book. It's like finishing the last chapter, with his life. It's like the end of an era in my mind, not just the end of his life, but everything that he represented. And I mean, he was born in rural Mississippi. He got through the Great Depression, farmed, came out to California, was a carpenter. I mean, he lived through a lot, 1922 to 2024. So anyway, there's a tribute to him on my Facebook page. I linked to it on all my socials, including YouTube. So if you want to go check that out, it'll give you, I think, some insight into me too. If you listen to the podcast, the things I defend and value, you know, my love for tradition and family, and of course, Christianity, you're going to find a lot of the motives and the reason I tick the way I do from reading that little tribute, which is really the foreword to the book that I've started writing. Or I did start writing a while ago on his World War II experience. Yeah, so that's out there. I wrote it actually last Saturday morning while he was still alive. I just knocked it out. It was just kind of stream of consciousness, and I'm pretty happy with it. I'll tweak a few things, but it's the gist of it. The other thing I wanted to mention, part of the reason I needed to make this video, because... We have a lot of sorrow, obviously, as I've, chronicled here, and going through the holidays without Danielle's mom, and now with my grandfather passing away. I mean, it's hard. You find yourself just kind of emotionally sad, and then, you know, not grieving as the world grieves, though. You realize that you're going to see him again, so there's a blessing there. But there's another blessing that we're looking forward to as well, so... My wife is going to be showing, if she actually already is showing, so I can't really hide it anymore. We are actually having a child. We're having a baby late June, early July. So we are excited about that, despite all the sorrow. And we don't know if it's a boy or a girl. We're going to figure that out when it happens. But I'm kind of betting it's a boy. And I've already started to test names with my wife to see if she likes the names that I like. That's a hard thing. We don't agree on a lot of names, so you could pray for us with that. But I know I asked all of you to pray that we would just be able to have a child about a year ago. We were going through some fertility treatments and testings and things, and we had been married at that point almost 7 years, and we didn't know why we hadn't had a child. And so I have a lot of sympathy and compassion for people who want children but aren't able to have them for whatever reason. And I am planning sometime down the road, not now, putting out some material on that to encourage you, if you're listening and that's one of your burdens, and to help answer some frequently asked questions about that, even some of the ethical questions, because I had to research all the different treatments that are out there. And so I view this as something, you know, like having kids changes you, right? But I view this as something that also has changed us. Not having kids when you want them also changes you quite a bit. And I think you gain some insight and maturity and a sensitivity that I would not have had if it just came easy. So we're excited for that. And I'll be updating everyone more on that as time goes on. I don't know when I'll put out a podcast next. The funeral, I think, is going to be in 2 or 3 weeks. I don't know yet. We'll find out more tomorrow, but once that happens, I'll be in a better frame of mind. Hopefully I can put out a few things before that, but it'll honestly depend. Things are just so up in the air right now, and I can't think about it right now, but I figured I at least owed everyone an explanation, and I wanted everyone to see the beauty around me right now. I'll give you another 360 here, just so you can see how beautiful it is. And actually, you can see the ocean pretty good right now. Yeah, right back there. So, all right, well, God bless everyone. I'll update you as I can on the podcast, probably put out some short YouTube videos here and there. And you can still send me things. I will be saving things for future podcasts as well. So, God bless. More coming. Bye now.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.